Yes. That they believe that the Jews killed. And I looked at him. I said, Gary, I believe Jesus was a Jew. My Messiah is a Jew. I am beholding my entire faith structure to you and your faith.
That's right.
It just blew him away. It blew me away to realize a little key to witness to my Jewish friends.
Amen.
I haven't had an opportunity to try it again. I mean, it doesn't normally come up and, hey, are you a Jew? In business, they'll probably tell me, well, I've been accused of being a Jew. But anyway. If you notice, I didn't start today off. I didn't start off today with a story of humor because I just knew I was going to get there sooner or later anyway, just because of who I am. There's another thing I want to say to you about the creed, either the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. The other thing I want to say to you is I have not been able to test this yet, but I've warned Cindy that I'm waiting, and it's going to happen. Just be prepared. I've warned her. How many of you have ever had those of a different faith knock on your door and want to witness to you? Or give you a watchtower? Or come talk to you about their form of religion? And recently, I'd say recently, over the last 10 years or so, there's been more, I have found them to try to be a little bit more aggressive in the way of saying, well, we're Christians too. And we're very similar in our beliefs. This is what I've had people stand on my porch and tell me. Because I always say, oh, thank you very much, but I love the Lord, I'm a Christian. Well, we're Christian too, we just want to talk to you about our faith. Do you know that a Mormon or a Jehovah Witness could not agree with you line by line on the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed? They could not. In truth. I mean, they might do it just to say, yeah, yeah, yeah. But in truth, their belief system will not allow them. So I've told Cindy the next time one of them comes and they say that, I'm going to say, okay, let's see how true that is. Will you repeat after me? And see how far they can go. I know. And just see how far they can actually go with that. I don't believe they would be able to, in good conscience, and uphold their faith and be able to do that. So anyway, in our baptismal covenant, what you and I and millions around the world are doing today is saying, we believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Next, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Stop. Do you really believe that?
Amen.
Do you really believe that he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and given unto a virgin who never knew a man? That's how Jesus came into this world?
Yes.
Okay. You just got to make sure. That's one of the things we have to believe. You cannot be sitting around somewhere in some living room pontificating, well, there might be another reason I've read in this book or that book. No, this is a stated fact of our faith. This is foundational of who we are because it's foundational to affirm the ministry of Christ on this earth. Next. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. Stop! I've heard Christians say, well, I don't know if it was a bodily resurrection. It was a spiritual resurrection. These are things that we cannot contend with. These are things that we must own. You've got to admit to yourself, I believe that Jesus came out of that tomb. I believe it with all my being. I believe that he died, that he was buried, that he descended into hell and led captivity free. Amen. I believe that. Oh, by the way, in order to lead the captives out of hell, you had to pass through a river. You had to go through water. There's a river in hell that's described. And the captives had to go through that. It was almost very similar to what the Jewish nation had to do when they went through the Red Sea. Ooh, a little picture, a little glimpse of baptism. Entering into our redemption through the waters of baptism. I believe he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Do you believe that? Why don't we act like it? Why don't we act like... Because guess what? If I'm a Christian, I'm in Christ. If Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father and I'm in Christ, where am I? Not because of me, but because of him. Do I act like that every day? Uh-uh. Do you? Uh-uh. Do any of us know? Back to confess. I got to say with God, I blew it. We got to believe this stuff, church. We have to hold firm to it. How do we hold firm to this stuff? Next. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. Stop. So many people choke on that, the Holy Catholic Church. They choke. You could choke if it said the Holy Roman Catholic Church. I give you permission to choke if that's what it said. But it's not saying that. I believe in the holy, set apart, universal church. We can all say, I believe. And guess what? I believe Roman Catholics are part of that as well.
Amen.
Thank you. But there are a lot of faiths out there that I don't believe are. And that's why you take them to the creed and let's find out where they are. Okay? The forgiveness of sins. God, that's a whole nother sermon. The resurrection of the body and life everlasting. I know everybody in this room believes that. That's why we're here. Because we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that. Next. Now we're going to get personal. Just go ahead and read that on your own. As Kevin pointed out, we need to say that prayer at the end. I will with God's help. This is part of who we are, church. We proclaim and we confess and we acknowledge that we will. The questions are now... You know, this section of the baptismal covenant, this section reminds me of those law and orders. It's almost like a questioning. It's almost like a provoking you. Okay, you said all this. You said all this, do you really mean it? Because here's the actions that come with all this. I will continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Which two don't you do? Because I know there's two up there that I struggle with. Come on. I'm just trying to be honest. It's not that I don't do them, it's I don't do them as I should. Let me rephrase that. I do them all. But it's I don't do them as I should. And then we proclaim, so the celebrant today, it was Father Ed, he questions you. He tries to provoke your thought. He tries to provoke our thought. He tries to get us to agree with God that this is what we should be doing. Which one of those could you commit to today to do better? Which one? Just pick one. No, just pick one. To yourself. Thank you, though, James. Which one of these could you do better in your life? Would your life be edified if you did better? Just pick one and do it. Next. Will you persevere in resisting evil? Oh, gosh. You mean I got to control it? I've got to say no? I've got to say not now? I got to say can't do that? Can't do this? Oh, but it's fun. Oh, but it feels good. Oh, but I want to. You mean I got to say no? I got to resist it? Ugh. And when I don't, will I repent and turn to the Lord? That's who we are, church. It's not if I will do it, I might do it. It's when I do it. Yeah. It's when I do it. Will I be swift to ask his forgiveness? And once again, the proclamation, I will with God's help because I know I'm weak. Next. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? I got to tell you, out of all of them, this is the one that's really tough. For those who were here on Wednesday night, we recently did When I Speak Your Name. It was last Sunday, When I Speak Your Name. And I said, speaking the name is not just what comes out of my mouth, it's what comes out of my life. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? How are you doing? How is your life proclaiming the good news of Jesus? I had a real difficult time proclaiming the good news of Jesus when this week I was driving on 295 North and a truck cut me off, scared me. It was in the rain, scared me. I thought I was going to lose control of my car. So I waved at the driver with one finger and mouthed a few things that I hope he could be a lip reader at that moment. I did. Almost did it once before until Cindy grabbed my hand. I have a habit of doing this when I get cut off. Cindy grabbed my hand and said, you have your collar on. And I did that day, so I just didn't think that would have been really good. Boy, talk about coming back down to reality. She saw the hand going up and she grabbed it. She goes, you have your collar on. Oh, doggone it. Word and example. How many of you have been turned off by a Christian who yakety-yak, talk it, beat you over the head with it, and then you know their life is out of sorts? I'd much rather my life speak of Christ than my words be empty. Right. It's not just our words. It's how we're living our life. And it's not how you live your life in private. This is a private... You're expected to do certain things in here. And you know what? We can all pull that off for an hour and a half, 2 hours with no problem. How do you do out there? How do you do out in life? How do you do at work? How do you do out in public? How do you do in the grocery store? How do you do in restaurants? Is your life a good example of being a Christian? It's not about every word that comes out of your mouth, Jesus this and Jesus that. It's how you approach people. It's how you talk to people. It's how you're always showing mercy and grace. How many of us married couples have gotten into an argument in public? And what if somebody was listening? What if somebody saw? What if somebody heard the things that you say one to another in a moment of frustration? It's not how you really feel, but it's what comes out. And somebody else overheard that. I don't care if it was a group of 1,000 people or if it was one other person. What about if your kids heard it? How is that being an example to Christ and being an example of your life? These are things that I think about, church, that when we say the creed and when we renew our baptismal covenant, do we really know what we're saying? I don't know. But I'm going to close with this. I've got three questions for you. The first question is, I believe, but I want to make sure, that everyone in this room today, at some point in time in your life, you have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't, there's no better day than today to do that.
Amen.
None.
Amen.
You'll find yourself with a group of people who love you, who will serve you, and will be there for you. Kevin, would you? What if you've made your confession, you've been baptized, and yet you've kind of lost your way, and you don't know how to get back? Well, getting back's easy. In fact, getting back is shorter than getting where you got. Today would be a good day if you chose to not only renew your baptismal covenant, but renew your walk with the Lord. In some circles, they call it a recommitment. You just need to say, Lord, I love you. And I know I've gone astray in this area, and today I want to come back. And the third question, or the third group of people I'd like to talk to, you know you're secure in your salvation, and you know that you strive for that every day. You haven't gone too far down the path, but there's one area. There's one thing that is your downfall. There's one area of your life. There's one challenge that you're facing that helps you stumble and fall and not lead the example that you want to lead. We're just going to take a few moments. Guess what? If nobody comes down, I'm not offended. Don't come down just to please me or say, boy, that was good, and I want to make sure somebody responded. I'm not about that. You've already done it by renewing your baptismal covenant. You've already said it. But if you want to make a public confession, if you want to publicly say with it, with God, if you want one of the priests, one of the clergy to pray with you, to lay hands with you, to seal it, we're here. We're just going to take a few minutes. Not even a few minutes. Take a minute. Kevin's going to lead us, and I'm just going to give you time to think about it for a minute. Again.